Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings conference call of Tata Chemicals Limited. Please note that this conference is being recorded. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. We have with us today Mr. R. Mukundan, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, Chief Financial Officer of Tata Chemicals Limited. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now invite Mr. R. Mukundan to begin proceedings of the call.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 nine-month FY26 earnings call. I'll start with a brief discussion of the industry situation and then get on to operational highlights across business and geographies. In terms of the demand scenario across geographies, especially for soda ash, I think the demand growth is fairly tepid and flat in the near term, constrained by weak macroeconomic in a couple of geographies, especially in Southeast Asia and some parts of Asia, which, and this is mainly driven off certain elements related to the export restriction and export constraint those products are facing in one of the biggest markets they had in the U.S. So medium-term soda ash, while this is so in the short term, the medium-term soda ash demand is expected to grow modestly, supported by structural growth of solar glass and a stable consumption from other applications. However, it is very likely that the demand growth is unlikely to absorb the new global capacity additions in the near term, which will result in continued pressure on pricing and margin in an import-exposed domestic markets. India continues to exhibit relatively robust demand growth, while China and the U.S. are witnessing marginal demand declines in some sectors and overall very, very flat demand. Across other regions in Asia, excluding Americas, excluding the U.S., Africa are seeing broadly resilient demand, and there are pockets of this within this which are also having challenges. For example, in Southeast Asia, demand has been marginally impacted by tariffs on photovoltaic glass imports into the U.S., affecting the regional glass trade flows. Geopolitical risk and ongoing tariff uncertainties persist, continuing to cloud global demand visibility. The pace of economic recovery is expected to remain fairly slow in the year ahead, limiting any sharp resurgence in industrial outcome. Over the medium and long term, the demand outlook remains positive, driven by sustainability-linked applications, including solar PV and EV growth, notwithstanding near-term challenges. In terms of supply, supply remains abundant across all major regions, with elevated inventory levels continuing to exert pressure on pricing. In India, prices have remained subdued due to sustained import from the U.S. and Turkey, limiting the scope for domestic price recovery. China inventories remain elevated but stable at 1.5 million tons, and the sentiment softened slightly compared to the previous quarter. Export prices have remained subdued through Q3. Beirun and Inner Mongolia have started testing additional expansion in December, with full-scale production sometime targeted during the first quarter of the financial year next year. While Chinese producers initiated strong spring maintenance earlier than usual, this resulted in supply curtailment in the short term, being rapidly offset by newly commissioned capacities. In terms of pricing, the soda ash prices remain challenged across most geographies, with prices in certain markets approaching record low levels on persistent oversupply and muted demand. In India, domestic list prices remain under pressure, declined marginally in Q3, driven by continued import competition and weak pricing sentiment. In the U.S., spot exports continued to soften, especially to the Southeast Asian markets. Export prices were particularly impacted by intense competition in the Southeast Asian market due to Chinese supplies in the global market. Chinese soda ash prices have declined by approximately 54% between Q3 FY23 and Q3 FY26, primarily due to the low-cost natural soda ash which has come on stream. Currently, the domestic prices are about 1,200 yuan in China. Overall, pricing is expected to remain at the similar levels given the elevated inventories. Now I'll go on to the operational performance. Despite the market headwinds, the company's standalone performance was actually supported by higher volumes, prudent cost management, resulting in stable operating performance during the quarter. The reconfiguration of UK operations was completed, with strategic focus on value-added and non-cyclical products to improve business stability. The revenue was about 1% down compared to previous year at 3,550 crore, despite the fall in prices in the market supported by higher volumes. EBITDA at 345 crore compared to 434, mainly on account of subdued pricing across all geographies, but also this EBITDA fall has been sharp in mainly in US, which has led to the overall consolidated having a sharp drop. There's an exceptional charge of 54 crores, which is provided in the accounts for the new labor code. And PAT before exceptional item is negative 15 crore compared to 50 crore, nearly 50 crore last quarter of FY25. Net debt stands at 5,596, excluding a lease of 772 crore. In terms of standalone, the revenue from operations stood at 1,204 crore, up 3% compared to Q3.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your patience. We have now reconnected with the management. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. And I was highlighting the standalone highlights at this point of time for Q3 FY26. The revenue from operations stood at 1,204 crore, up 3% compared to Q3 FY25 due to higher volume. EBITDA at 228 crore in standalone was 9% up from Q3 FY25, effect of also higher volume and lower fixed cost. An exceptional charge of 14 crore was provided in the account on the new labor code. PAT before exceptional item from continuing operation was 87 crore, up 21% compared to Q3 FY25. In terms of unit-wise performance, India had performance higher than previous year, mainly on higher volumes and operational efficiencies. Quarterly sales volume of silica was up 15%. Quarterly sales volume of FOS was up by 9%. We also commissioned a new L55 line in Mambattu on October 25. Pearl-grade silica of 3,000 metric ton per annum in Cuddalore was commissioned in December 2025. US both domestic and export volumes were higher. Prices were sharply lower in the exports, which led to the sharp fall in revenues and the margins. UK salt production was impacted due to unplanned stoppage, which resumed thereafter. The bicarb is slowly recovering its market share with the feedstock coming in from TCNA, natural soda ash. Kenya had higher revenue due to higher volume, offset by lower realization. The price did drop there. And 50 KT electric calciner soda ash. Okay. 50 KT electric calciner soda ash plant in Kenya was operationalized and will be fully stabilized by March 2026. Rallis saw revenue growth of 19%, driven by crop care and seed business. We also announced the acquisition of Nova Bay Singapore on November 19th, which we entered into a share purchase agreement. And this acquisition strengthens Tata Chemicals' position in premium-grade value-added bicarb market by expanding the geographic footprint, which now extends from UK, which serves European market, in India, as well as now the Asian markets, including ASEAN and Far East. CAPEX, the board also approved an investment of 515 crore for setting up a greenfield facility in this board meeting of 210 kiloton per annum capacity of iodized salt in Vallinokkam in Tamil Nadu. This facility is expected to be commissioned over the next 36 months. Board in its meeting in 21 also approved 50 kiloton per annum precipitated silica expansion at Cuddalore at an investment of 775 crore and a 350 kiloton dense ash plant in Mithapur with an investment of 135 crore. So all the capexes are happening in India, a market which is steadily growing, and also in bicarbonate in the Asian market to capture the premium bicarb market. Overall, our priorities remain firmly aligned in protecting margins, preserving cash flows, maintaining balance sheet strength. We continue to adopt a disciplined approach to capacity utilization, cost control and capital allocation, ensuring resilience during current challenging phase of the soda ash cycle. With this, I close my comment and hand back to moderator for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Participants are also requested to limit their questions to two per participant, and you can rejoin the queue in case of further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saurabh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, please can you remind us how the soda ash domestic realization in U.S. are looking like for this year because the contracts would have been signed in January. So any color on that?
Yeah, the U.S. Domestic prices which have been negotiated are at par or about $5 to $10 variation, bulk of them. Overall, I would say that there's been about $5 drop in realization on the domestic market.
$5 drop. Okay. That is useful. And can you please also make us understand how the cost would have changed in the last 5 years? Because at a similar kind of realization, we used to make very good margins pre-COVID times. So now and then, right on our top level, is how the cost structure has changed so that we are not making any profit anymore at these realizations. That is useful.
So in terms of on a fixed cost basis, which is in dollar terms, I think there is broadly, if you take if you spread it between two elements, on fixed cost there is about the increase in fixed cost over the last 5 years has been broadly about $15 million broadly. On the variable cost, certainly I think this would vary from the various pricing of coal and gas contracts. But I think a $5 movement has happened broadly, per ton basis.
But the gas and coal cost, would it be much different from what it was pre-COVID times? I would have assumed it would have stabilized and maybe have seen some increase. But then it's like a major increase in those costs versus how we used to procure it, say, 5 years back.
So the gas is broadly, you know, in terms of gas has settled at a much higher price from pre-COVID. And the coal has also increased because many of these coal companies have had to sort of sign a contract with annual escalation because many of them are actually running at the end of their cycle of the current scheme, and they are finding it difficult to get financing for new scheme. So they want to run the current scheme, which effectively means they have to travel longer to get the coal out, and hence they've had an increase in cost, and it's been annualized escalation. I think if you take pre-COVID over the last 3 to 4 years, I think probably is about $5 broadly.
$5 in total?
$5 per ton of the finished product, and right. $5 per ton of the coal cost, which is about 50, I think it's about 55 now. That's what
it is. Okay. Understood. That is very helpful. And if I may squeeze in one more question, U.S. is currently, you know, has seen some winter storms. So any disruptions in your production or sales activities, have you noticed any such signs on that side?
No, this time there is no disruption to speak about. If you look at the operational challenge, this quarter has been mainly in U.K., where I think we had an unplanned stoppage in our salt plant. But I think in quarter four, with a much more stable operation, should be reporting better numbers. In fact, we were hoping that this quarter we would break even in UK, which has got pushed because of because UK had a very difficult storm which came on the way. But I think that did disturb the operation, and there was an unplanned stoppage. But US, there was none.
So US on margins, how would you look at the coming quarters? Do you see any, you know, normalization towards the usual margins, or would you expect it may continue to run at loss?
No, I think what we are going to do, and I think this is really the operating team is managing it on a case-by-case basis, on shipment to shipment, While we continue to serve all markets which have held more or less pricing steady, especially in the Southeast Asian market, we are stopping to take orders which are below our expected number. So you would feel, you would see in the coming quarter, us not delivering the volume, sort of going down on the volume because it doesn't make any sense to be selling in those markets at negative contribution.
Okay. Does it mean the volume decline for the coming quarters?
Yeah, it's a temporary pause, especially to the Southeast Asian market. Yeah.
Okay, sure. I will join that with you. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We sincerely apologize for the inconvenience, as there was an issue at our end. We have now reconnected with the management.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you are now connected into the conference call.
Yeah.
We have our next participant, Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities, with the next question. May we go ahead with the question, sir?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Abhijit Akela, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Thank you very much. First question from my side is regarding the capacity expansions. Could you please just give us some guide us a little bit with regard to the expected EBITDA from these expansions for silica, soda ash and salt in India? Also, if I may squeeze in one alongside that, with regard to Nova Bay as well, will that appear in the Europe business or somewhere else, and what sort of EBITDA number could we expect? And also, sorry, the Kenya capacity expansion of 50,000 tons, the electric calciner, is that a capacity addition or is that be a change to a different fuel source?
Yeah, I think firstly on Kenya, let me take that. I think Kenya, that 50K is additional capacity addition. It is over and above the current capacity, but also it is likely to be a more superior product because the purer ash, which also has low carbon footprint because of electric calcination. So the EBITDA numbers will be higher than normal and it's completely electric. The second piece is on the Nova Bay acquisition. Actually, it's in Singapore. It is for the Asian market, mainly for food and pharmaceutical application. And the unit numbers, everything we will sort of highlight once we consummate the operation acquisition. Needless to say that it also gives us flexibility at a very low cost to double the capacity to 120,000 ton from the current 60,000 ton. So we will also highlight what will be the operational benefits of doing the same. The other thing which we are trying to do as far as Singapore is concerned, currently they are importing the synthetic soda ash all the way from Europe. We will be supplying that from some of our more known and more competitive sources. The third piece is on the capacity expansions in salt. It would continue at about same margins as we have overall, because whatever increase in cost is because of the new site, that is more or less compensated very well with the logistic cost reduction. So the margin should not change in the additional capacity coming in on in Okam. Also, it's coming at the right time because it's been 24 to 36 months. Our unit in Mithapur will be fully loaded by that time, and we will not have any spare volume unless this goes on stream. Of course, we could have expanded in Mithapur rather than here, but we chose to do it in south so that we have flexibility with two sources. With respect to dense soda ash in Mithapur, we will come back to you with a specific number next quarter. And precipitated silica, we already highlighted the margin numbers in the past. A specific number, we will share it with you in terms of what it is likely to do. But all these projects have returns which are in excess of 16%, and normally we try for returns closer to 18%.
Okay, sir. I believe the silica business currently is doing about some 60 odd crores of sales, if I'm not mistaken, based on the 10,000 ton capacity. So should we assume a similar level of realization as well from the expansion?
Yeah, it would be similar, but the overall issue would be that the way it would work is because that 60 odd crore you'll have to distribute is only 10,000. The additional capacity which has come on stream, that will be only seen in quarter four. You should not add that when you look at the average realization.
Fair enough. And just one last thing from my side was with regard to the Berun capacity addition that you alluded to earlier on the call. What sort of phase one capacity is coming up over there? I think that's really the main thing.
Yeah, the overall increase in capacity is about 2.5 to 2.8 million ton. 2.5 you can take as a safe number in addition to what already exists there. And this, in our view, is in line with the target China has set of having 50% synthetic and 50% natural. But the way we see it is that while the new natural capacities have come, the synthetic capacities have to go. So overall, there will be capacity rationalization which has to happen in China. With the current pricing, most synthetic plants are actually losing are not making money at all. They are losing, which is why they've gone in for a cyclical maintenance shutdown to sort of not produce below certain number.
Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue for any more.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, I think on the US side, you mentioned that you're taking a conscious decision not to ship to Southeast Asia. While that could potentially improve the mix.
Yeah, I'll just clarify. I said in Southeast Asia, if certain contracts are being offered at the prices which are not acceptable, not that we are not shipping everything. We are shipping, but it may lead to certain reduction in volume. We are going contract by contract as we speak.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. The question that I was asking was if we had to kind of think about the U.S. business over the next few quarters, what would be a good level of EBITDA that we should assume? Or would it be fair to say that given the market conditions and given the time it will take for you to kind of rationalize your volumes, would this quarter be representative of what could be the case for the next couple of quarters, or how should we think about that?
So in terms of overall, I would say if you look at the shipments which we are doing, which are quantity commitments we had in the past, I think there was one shipment this quarter. There probably is going to be one shipment next quarter. Other than that, there are no shipments which we are taking below a number which we have for our fairer contribution. But if you look at US, the way to think about it is that in these swing markets where pricing has dropped below $160 or $155 broadly, even a $20 movement or $15 movement is good enough to get everything back on track. So I think it is just that it's at the edge of where we think it is not acceptable. And the $20 move in some of these contracts would make us move to start accepting those contracts.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. And just the second question that I had on the CapEx front, given where we are in the markets currently, and given that, the closures that we were expecting, say, out of Europe or even in China, it's taking a bit longer. Just wanted to understand at what point in time would you consider pushing out the CapEx? Or is there any thought process that at a certain price or at a certain level of, where the industry is, you would think about, either postponing the CapEx or relooking at that altogether? I do understand India is a growing market, but just wanted to understand how you would think of that given where the industry is today. Thank you.
In terms of CapEx, Varun, I think fundamentally we are not adding any CapEx in any market other than India. In fact, we were the first ones to stop the expansion in the US way, way ahead of others anticipating a market condition. And if you really look at our approach, it has been that we serve markets which are fundamentally ahead which are more robust, which are the regional market of North and South America. That's what we are focusing our American unit as, and we have sufficient capacity to feed those markets. And also to service our UK demand for our bicarbonate unit. We also were ahead of the curve in terms of shutting down capacity in UK, and had we not done it, this year would have been far, far worse. In fact, UK has shown about 100 crore swing from what it would have been to what it is now. And we do expect by next quarter they should be very close to break even, and next year on start making profits. And the UK is going to focus fundamentally on bicarbonate and salt, and they're two of a very higher grade of food and feed and pharma. If you look at capacities in India also, most of them have happened. While we have debottlenecked soda ash with, at a very low capex, we've spent most of the capital towards adding capacities in salt, bicarbonate, silica, and FOS, all pretty much not in the commoditized space. And even in the commoditized space, if you look at the capex which are highlighted for dense ash, for 350,000 ton of dense ash, spending 150 crore is a very, very competitive number. It is not an easy number anybody can get to. We have the flexibility to get there because of the resources we have access to. It's also reconfiguration of one of the existing units within Mithapur, which already exists. So we're not putting fresh steel and cement on the ground. We are reconfiguring something there in Mithapur to get that additional outcome. So clearly, we are very conscious, and even at this time, we are going to be one of the key directions, and we have been seeing for the last 1 year has been, while the market is going through this challenging space, we are extremely focused on making sure we serve the customers who make fair returns for us and serve them well. At the same time, continue to drive our fixed costs down while keeping the efficiencies up. Mothballing units and equipments which don't make competitive efficiency, and rationalize capital in a way that it makes a positive cash flow for us. So this year, for example, if you look at the cash flow for three quarters, it's about 700 crore negative at the operating level, of which 350 is on the forex movement on the debt taken, debt we already have. So the real number hasn't moved up, but 350, which is additional, is fundamentally a sharp reduction, and that has been achieved because of a sharp reduction in capex expenditure from last year to this year. Going forward next year, there are further going to be sharper reduction. While we announce these plans, these are going to be done very judiciously.
Sure, sir, that's very clear. And just one last clarification, there are no one-offs or uncommon costs in U.S., correct? That's all a normalized number, the one that you reported, correct? No one-off costs or no one-off expenses to note?
No, there's no one-off call. As I mentioned, there's only one one-off issue in the revenue line because of the quantity commitments we had with customers. We had to ship them at a pricing which we would normally not have done. And there probably is going to be one more shipment which will go to Southeast Asia. But other than that, we've actually stopped taking orders at those numbers.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please restrict your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue if you have follow-up questions. Our next question comes from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just on, the U.S. part of our business, if you can help with what was the volume or revenue share from exports for the quarter or for the nine-month period?
We'll share that with you. This quarter had a higher volume of exports, but we'll share that with you.
Sure. Where I was coming from was, the subpar profitability that we are seeing in US is largely because of this export order, which probably will not be there in the coming quarters, or even the base profitability in US given the lower pricing contract is also slightly under pressure.
So I think what we will do, we will start sharing the export volumes with you. The subpar in export also is only in...
So I was mentioning that we will start sharing the split, but in terms of exports, I think there's only one region which is posing a challenge, which is the exports to Asia, especially to Southeast Asia. Other regions are not a challenge at this point of time, and the prices have held, while they've come down, but they've not gone to a level where it is, they're holding at very fairly good, acceptable margins.
Sure, sir. I was referring to, the local sales in US, given the slightly lower pricing there. will, let's say, the EBITDA margin on a per kg basis will be similar versus last year, or it will be slightly down if I look at from CY 2026?
So I said on an average, you could take $5 down. It's not too much. I mean, in the sense that I think given the market conditions, but our volumes in domestic have also increased. So I think to that extent, it has more or less compensated for whatever we would have lost in terms of pricing.
Sure. Second question on the margins, both in India and Kenya. Kenya, we have seen pretty healthy uptick there, and same in terms of volume growth in India. But somehow, Indian margins are slightly lower. Any specific reason? And the same question on Kenya margins. What should be the steady-state number there?
I think Kenya would remain where it is. I think Kenya, we are not seeing any major changes in their numbers this quarter to next quarter. It's all going to be volume-dependent. They sold more, so they had better numbers this quarter. Hopefully, once the 50,000-ton comes on stream, that will be at a slightly higher pricing and probably would give them even higher margin. As far as India is concerned, I think broadly, we expect the current numbers to run through. The margin numbers in India have broadly been more or less steady, except for some pockets where prices have sort of gone down by about 500 or 600 rupees a ton in soda ash. But otherwise, other products have held more or less up. But India also has had a one-off impact of certain costs which they had to incur this quarter to get ready for the next year.
Okay. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. My question is for the solar was driving overall soda ash demand earlier. So how is the scenario globally, say, for China and other developed countries?
Yeah. So solar still is driving the demand clearly. I think it can turn on a dime. If you look at even lithium, which was a big driver, suddenly lithium prices have rebounded. So clearly, it's a long-term direction. What really has impacted the solar in Southeast Asia, the demand in Southeast Asia, and why so much material is oversupplied there is because many of our customers have had a challenge because of the high duty put by U.S. on exports from there as that is getting rationalized because as that is getting rationalized, I think over a period of time, I think it will settle down. So I think this is very much an impact of what U.S. has done. U.S. was a large market for, and many of these capacities were set up by Chinese companies to continue to export to U.S. So clearly, I think that has unwound itself. And hopefully, with the deals being signed and contracting restarting, this should settle.
So overall, we have seen in the past also export has a lower margin business. And now, because of tariff issue, our margin is lower and domestic demand in U.S. is lower. So do you think next couple of you are restricting your sales to domestic U.S. market and not exporting, minimizing the export? So do you think the margin overall profitability of the U.S. business is going to normalize in the next couple of quarters?
Yeah. I think in terms of what we are saying is that the prices will have to rebound at some point because many companies will be taking decisions what we are taking. So I think it is not going to be one company's decisions will drive overall behavior. But in terms of the way we approach is that we really look at the market and do our plans. I completely agree with you. Domestic market for all our businesses is where we get the highest realization. And nearby markets are where we get the next highest realization. So for U.S., the nearby markets tend to be Southern American markets and parts of the Far East. And they would focus in those markets rather than extend themselves beyond that and do as much of a volume in those markets as possible. At the same time, I think the U.K. has completely withdrawn. So part of the U.K. demand for internal consumption of soda ash is being met by our U.S. operation. And in India, I think we are able to sort of continue to sell because India is a net importer. we still need more capacity to come in India. But I think with the current pricing, the new capacities may not make sense. It is only going to be debottlenecking capacities.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take our last question from the line of Nitesh Dhoot from Anand Rathi Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I had missed the initial part of the discussion, so sorry if I'm repeating there. While we do understand that the pricing pressure is there on the other markets, but in UK, after the discontinuation of soda ash, we had been guiding around 250 crores of EBITDA for FY26, from the fixed cost savings, etc., and a positive quad by Q3. So our 9-month EBITDA is about 110 crores. Q3, as I understand, seems to have a one-time impact. But by when can we get to the guided, EBITDA of 250 crores or about 60-65 crores quarterly EBITDA run rate and a positive PAT there?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned, this quarter, while we were aiming to get pretty close to that number, we were impacted by one-off event which led to certain production issues because of the snowstorm they had, which really was not an insurable event in many ways. So I think we have had an issue with that piece, but clearly I think we are making progress, and the fixed cost savings have come through, and part of that journey will be completed in Q4, and certainly during next year we will be fully on board with the statement we made. Also, the pharmaceutical salt unit is now pretty much on track to sort of increase its capacity utilization. As that utilization increases, that would also contribute to the overall number in UK. So I must say that we are behind by almost 6 months in UK in terms of turnaround, but not in terms of fixed cost reduction, but overall in terms of getting the margin, high margin revenue up in that market.
All right, so that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. R. Mukundan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, and thank you to all the participants. This has been a short call, mainly because of the inordinate failing which happened at the bridge at the Chorus. So hopefully we'll have smoother calls going forward. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for the call today. So as I mentioned, that during Q3 FY26, the soda ash market continued to remain oversupplied, especially for US. The pricing in the export market, in particular one region, had impacted them, and that has had an adverse impact on the overall number. Operating environment, while remaining challenging, we do believe that the actions we are taking on the ground in terms of cost discipline and portfolio resilience would hold us in good stead. The other actions we've taken in terms of operational efficiency, tighter cost control, and proactive market management would position us, albeit this switchover from growing to making this cost management as one of the key has been something which we have done in the last two quarters very sharply. So while the near term does call for caution, which we are advocating, we remain confident of company's strategic direction, which essentially means to put capacities which are non-cyclical, also put only very low capex capacities which yield higher return, and be very cash focused in our operations. We also believe the balance sheet strength and the capability of our team will ensure that we navigate this well. So we will continue to act with discipline to ensure we are well positioned as we come out of this challenging time to capture opportunities as market conditions improve. Thank you all, and see you for Q4 FY26.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.